Blog Talk Radio.
And good afternoon. Brendan Cunningham here, saluting you all for Real Estate is Cool, as far as I know. I always say as far as I know because the company that sponsors us is Husfar Real Estate, and they are truly the coolest call in town, the coolest real estate company in town, definitely. Having said that, we invite you to be a guest on today's show. Just call us at 563-999-3066. You can be a guest talking about things that are cool. You know what? I saw something that was really cool the other day as I was studying my Italian, since it's what I'm hoping to do one day, is to have a good solid grasp of la bella lingua and have it as my madre lingua, my mother tongue. But having said that, I was looking at the word fiducia. Fiducia, which means confident. But we also know in our language, the English language, fiducia, which gives us our word fiduciary. And as real estate agents, particularly in New York State, as real estate agents, we act as fiduciaries when we work with our clients. Now, fiduciary is a relationship that implies great trust. And it's interesting that the root word, which is Italian, fiducia, means confident. Well, wouldn't you have confidence in the person that has that's extending great trust to you? I would think you would. If you're an agent, wouldn't you feel more confident if you were just doing what you were supposed to be doing as a fiduciary, which is that relationship that implies great trust? Now, for those that have difficulties remembering things, the relationship of a fiduciary is based on something that we use an acronym, and it's called the old car. The old car, OLDCAR, are all the relationship requirements if you're acting as a fiduciary. So what are they? O, obedience. L, loyalty. D, due diligence. C, confidentiality. A, accountability, what they call reasonable accountability. And finally, what's the R stand for? That's reasonable accountability. And the A is for assistance. So having said that, we look at some of the requirements, and, you know, I sort of chuckle because this is one of the cool things about the show is we're going to tell you the truth. And part of the truth is sometimes I've seen real estate agents be somewhat not so cool on the confidentiality thing. You know, if you're selling your house because it's a divorce, and the reason why you're getting divorced is because it's very clear that you're beating up your wife, well, you probably don't want that information to be getting out there. And I have to say, I have seen some agents, not that I ever would work with those agents, but, you know, they're talking about their clients over a bar, and that's not a cool thing to do. It's just not cool. Accountability and responsibility and confidentiality. I mean, most of the requirements of a fiduciary are pretty easy, but sometimes if you're a blabbermouth, you know, you may have to look at the big book and say, yeah, we're not doing that anymore. Okay, so that's a little bit of lecture on my Italian fiducia, which is to be confident. We're going into Easter season, and one of the things that is typical in Easter is pretty much every Easter Sunday for the last, I don't know how many years, they've been showing the Ten Commandments, because Easter usually coincides with Passover. They show the Ten Commandments on network television with Charlton Heston and Yul Brynner. And I got to say, that's a really cool movie. If you haven't seen it, I don't know where you've been, because it's just an amazing movie. It got like a gazillion awards when it first came out, and richly deserved awards. Now, granted, this is the Cecil B. DeMille version of telling the story of the Passover. And it's the Passover section of the story is told really, really well, I think, with all of the Hollywood special effects. So I got an idea based on that I was going to do a presentation for our agents, and I called it the Ten Commandments of Real Estate. And I fashioned them the exact same way that the commandments are fashioned, because one of the things that happens if you actually look at the commandments, this is not a religion course, and it's not designed to be, you know, we're not going to jam any religion, but it's just from a historical perspective. What were the commandments all about? From a historical perspective, the Ten Commandments that were brought down from Moses on Mount Sinai, they were arranged in a very specific fashion. The first three had to deal with one's relationship with God, and the last seven had to do with your relationship to people, your neighbors. And one of the things that happened as a result of the story is, you know, Moses got a little upset when he came down. He saw these guys, you know, they had fallen away from the one true God, and they've got the, you know, the golden idol. So he breaks the tablets. Well, for those of you Indiana Jones fans, you'll remember the Ark of the Covenant. What was in the Ark of the Covenant? Well, the stuff that was in the Ark of the Covenant was they gathered up all of the stones that Moses had broken over their heads, and they put the stones in there. They also put some manna in there, some other things. But essentially, they put the pieces of the law, and they always carried the law in front of them as they were wandering through the desert. The rest of the story is they wandered for 40 years. Whether they actually wandered for 40 years or not, I don't know. I wasn't there. But the word 40 keeps coming up over and over and over and over again in the Bible. All it really means is it's a symbolic number for it's a time of preparation. Lent is 40 days, and the good Lord fasted in the desert for 40 days to prepare himself. So what were these guys preparing themselves when they were wandering in the desert? Well, they were preparing themselves to be a law-abiding group and to have a better life. And without the law, they knew something. Whether they knew this empirically or not, they knew something. Without the law, you have chaos. Chaos! And what are we seeing in our society today? The law is being suspended. It's not being enforced. We're seeing all kinds of nonsense going on in our inner cities. People are stealing and shoplifting. Stores are closing because they can't keep up with the shoplifting. Why? Because they've suspended adhering to the law. So I came up with an idea for a presentation with our agents where I talk about the Ten Commandments of real estate. And although they're not necessarily laws, I mean, they should be. Like, you know, one of the things that you can't kill people, thou shalt not kill. That's one of the real commandments. But I have one. I didn't say don't kill another agent. But you know what? I said steal from another agent. You know, one of the requirements, if you're a good real estate agent, and you're cool, is if you run into somebody and you think that they're interested in buying or selling real estate, you're required to ask the question, which is, are you working with another agent? If they are, and you know they have a signed agreement that they're working with that agent, well, then you say, you know what? Good for you. Stick with your agent. They're great people, but if you know them, you can say that. Don't be telling fibs and say, oh, yeah, this guy's a rascal, but I'm going to say he's good. But basically, that's a hands-off scenario, which is not to say that all agents would do that, okay? And which is not to say that people don't steal things, because we know that they do. But I came up and I said, no, this is a commandment. Don't be stealing people from other agents. And, you know, it's just not a cool thing to do. Sometimes on this show, we're going to talk about things that are cool in real estate, and sometimes we'll have to talk about things that are not so cool. Having said that, let me tell you something that's not so cool. I'm trying to go out of town for a few weeks, and, you know, when you have income properties, it's a beautiful thing. They pay the rent and all this kind of stuff. But what do you think happens? Last night, I get a call. I think it was about 10 minutes to 11 at night. I was ready to go to bed, and I get a call from one of the tenants. You guessed it. They got a leak in the toilet, and it's leaking through the floor and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, luckily for me, my team of repair people are easily accessible. I had a plumber over there first thing this morning. I said, just turn up the spigot on the toilet so it doesn't continue to run, and I'll have a guy over in the morning. Had a guy in the morning, and we got it fixed. But yeah, that's the sort of not so cool side of owning real estate. Sometimes you do have to attend to it. if you're a good landlord, you jump right on these things. I'm a good landlord. I typically get presents from my tenants because I jump right on things if they ever have it. And I try to head them off the path as good owners of real estate and good landlords do. Not everyone should do this. I was talking to a young man the other day. He wants to buy his first income property, and he's already talking about kicking people out, jacking up their rents, and I'm thinking, this is not going to be good. I mean, so I'm trying to give him the refresher course, but the initial course to say, listen, here's the thing. Just because you can raise the rent doesn't mean you should. Just because you can, if you have a good tenant, why would you jostle their feathers? Why would you do that and risk not just getting them annoyed, but, you know, maybe they move out and now you have a vacancy that you have to fill, and the next person that goes in there is not nearly as good as the tenant that you have. So you have a good tenant. I think you take care of your good tenants. I think that's what a good steward does, a good landlord. They're not just going to constantly be jacking their rents up and bleeding properties dry. We see that, which is why many, many municipalities frown on absentee landlordism. We have a major issue with absentee landlords in the city of Buffalo, as many cities do. And Buffalo is sort of a very, very microcosmic version of this, because the problems that we have are negligible compared to the problems of absentee landlords in, say, someplace like New York City or Florida. They have lots of absentees down there. And generally speaking, if you're absent, you don't see what's going around. It's just not good just from an environmental and neighborhood standpoint. So I made sure that I took care of things like a good landlord, and I'm trying to tell this other kid, I said, listen, just because you sure doesn't, you know, yeah, just don't do that. But I'm not sure I have a lot of confidence that he's going to be a good landlord, but, you know, you do the best you can sometimes. And all we can do is teach and suggest that there might be some better ways. I always tell new agents coming to the business, your job, whether you realize this or not, whether you knew that you were signing up for this, is you have to teach people how to buy and you have to teach people how to sell their properties. Now, to that end, one of the other things that is cool at Husvar Real Estate, as far as I know, is you might want to actually tap into our blog. If you want to, you can go to my personal page, which is Brendan, Brendan, dot Husvar, Husvarre, the R-E is for real estate, .com. Brendan.husvar.com, and you can go right down to the blog at the bottom. And today's post was, I called it it's all about the E's of real estate. And what are the E's? I just gave you four E's as kind of definitions. And the four E's that I talked about was earnest money, escrow, equity, and equity erosion. Mm-hmm. There is such a thing as equity erosion. Now, the good news is equity erosion, that's a double E, is, although it, not only is it not cool, it's not something that we're really seeing right now. We're really seeing equity appreciation, tremendous equity appreciation. I looked at my own house and it went up year over year, it went up 29% just last year. And that's tremendous appreciation, especially since Buffalo historically was, you know, they never even talked about appreciation here. They used to talk about, you've heard the thing, return on investment, ROE. In Buffalo, they always talk about ROE being return of investment. So if you paid $100,000, when you sold it, you actually got $100,000 back. With equity appreciation, you know, if you pay 100, you kind of expect it to go 130, 140. In this case, it was 29% increase. It went from 100 to 129 in 1 year. So, we're seeing appreciation here that's actually seriously measurable for the first time in many, many, many years. That being said, let's talk about one of the other E's that's on there, and it's called earnest money. I love the whole discussion about earnest money. In certain parts of the country, earnest money is just another synonym for a binder. But what an earnest money is, deposit, is it's part of the total deposit. So let's use some easy numbers and say that you're buying a $100,000 house, you're getting an $80,000 mortgage, so obviously you're putting down 20%. $20,000 would be your total deposit. Now, if you're like a lot of people, you say, you know what, I can write you a check for the whole thing, but how about if I just give you like $10,000 now, and that will be my earnest money deposit, and then I bring 10 to closing. That's fine. You could do that. However, understand this. These days, in competitive offers, they look at everything. They look at all the terms. And sometimes we can have competing offers that are so close that they have to look at the earnest money deposits and say, who's got more chips on the table? And if I put up 1,000 earnest money and you put up 10,000, well, not only are you 10 times more earnest than I am, but it's very, very clear that you understand, as Oscar Wilde would say, you understand the play of the same name, the importance of being earnest. So that's one of the E's we talked about in our blog post. Equity erosion, not nearly really a thing, but, you know. So bear in mind, there's lots of interesting terms that we use all the time, and I loved my little cute thing that I learned about being confident. Fiducia, yes, and being a fiduciary. Some other things that are going on out there, cool, not cool. Well, this is sort of a jump shot. I don't know if this is cool or not, but it is. We're actually seeing, I'm observing that the market has actually gotten tighter in the last 2 months. I was listening to agents the other day say, you know, it's almost harder now than it was 6 months ago. I actually think that it is, especially in the 716. There's very little on the market, and people are really competing with ferocity. And that's not going to bring prices down. I was talking to another young man the other day who's looking to buy property, and he said, well, I'm waiting for the prices to come down. Every real estate office that in the olden days that you'd go into that had a kitchen always had a picture on the refrigerator. And it was a little cartoon, a meme they would call it today. It was a picture of these ancient people with no teeth and on walkers, and the caption read, the couple that's waiting for the prices to go down. Because you know what? Every once in a while, there's a little blip on the radar screen, but generally speaking, the general direction is up, up, up. And they say, well, how high can they go? You know what? They can go as high as they need to go. Look at places like Hong Kong. I mean, it's insane. People in Hong Kong, they actually have apartments that are called coffin apartments. They are the size of a coffin. They're really more like the old, I've never been on one, but I thought it would always be cool to do it, on the berth of a train. Remember those little places? You always saw them, like Abbott and Costello. They did a great scene in the movie Some Like It Hot with Marilyn Monroe and Tony Curtis, where they're on the train and they're jumping from berth to berth. They're actually buildings that have apartments like that in Hong Kong, and they're not cheap. You'd be paying maybe $1,000 for something like that, just to sleep in a coffin. No kitchen, no nothing. They'd have like a bathroom and maybe a hot plate at the end of the floor or something like that. So how high can they go? You know, they can go pretty high. And I tried to couch the person's reservation by saying, you know, here's the deal. If the prices do come down, especially like around here, it's such a not a good thing because everything gets affected. And we are in an inflationary economy, and anyone that tells you we are not in an inflationary economy is just on drugs. And I think it's cool to speak the truth. And you're just, I mean, I don't know how the government can continue to gaslight. Say, well, you know, it's really not a recession. It's really not inflation. Go to the store and tell me that. Go to the frigging store and tell me that there's no equity. There's no inflation and all that stuff. However, if prices were to come down, as some people are hoping and praying, it's such a bad thing, and it would be such a, it would be almost tantamount to putting ourselves into a greater depression than we had in the 30s. Yeah, prices would have become more affordable then, but then guess what? No one's buying them except being very, very wealthy, because it would just totally wipe out the middle class. So if you're hoping for prices to go down, if I could make a suggestion, pray for something else. Pray for something else. Pray for a windfall or something so you can get a better down payment. Because if they come down, it's bad for everyone except the very, 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 very wealthy. I can remember listening to my mother telling me about her family during the Great Depression. They owned four buildings, and they lost them all because they couldn't make payments. back in the olden days, they used to show in the silent movies where the landlord or the bank would be twisting his mustache outside your window trying to get his mortgage paid, and he would just foreclose. So, yeah, so a lot of people didn't do real well in the last depression. We don't want to go that way. That would be seriously uncool. So we want to talk about things that are cool. I hear that they're doing some more drawings on the Buffalo Bills Stadium. That's cool. But you know what's not cool? You know, I predicted this, and I said, you wait. And I said, what are they saying? Oh, that's $1.2 billion. Okay. Now they just said, well, it's going to be at least $140 million more. This is the first volley. They haven't stuck a shovel in the ground yet. They're going to cost overrun this thing into the stratosphere. I'm going to make a prediction. This stadium is not coming in under $2 billion. I might even go so bold and say it's going to come in at $2.5 billion on the one that they quoted at $1.2. Why? Because you're dealing with the government. And the government loves to spend your money. They think that's cool. We don't think it's particularly cool, but they do. So, I mean, every time I see what the government does in terms of spending our money, I just scratch my head. And the biggest one that just absolutely makes me crazy, and if you don't believe me, go over to Grand Island, which is a cool place to live, by the way. I always make fun of, I said, oh, man, you're like an island person, man. You that is the thing, man. You're on the island. And they said, yeah, not quite Jamaica, though. But go over there and look at the visitor center. I think it was $7 million of taxpayer dollars. Any hour of the day you go past that visitor center, it's right on the main drag there as you cross over the island. It's pretty much kitty corner to where Fusillo's dealership used to be. Same side of the street. Beautiful building. What a beautiful building. Here's the deal. You will never, ever, ever see anyone in that building. Lights are on, but nobody's home. I think they have a few vending machines in there because, you know what, as nice as Grand Island is, do we really need a visitor center there? I don't know. I don't think we do. And guess what? Nobody else thinks we do either. They're not going there, as far as I know. All right, so let's talk about some other cool things that you might get involved with in terms of real estate. I did have a conversation with several people the other day, and they all seemed to agree that if you're going to be buying anything for your first place, you know what? Best advice you're ever going to get. Make sure your first property is a double. How cool would that be if not only aren't you paying rent anymore, but that you can actually have somebody paying your mortgage? You live downstairs, the guy's upstairs, he's paying. I mean, in some cases, you can almost get your entire mortgage payment subsidized. If you can't get your entire mortgage payment subsidized, you get a good portion of it. And you know what? It's a hell of a lot better than paying rent. Remember the axiom that I credit to myself. It is better to own a hovel than to rent a mansion. I know you can say, well, no, I'd rather be in the mansion. I'd rather be in the mansion too, but not if I had to pay rent on it. I know that some people pay rent because they have to, they're in transition, and there's always a time when you'll be paying rent. However, as a lifestyle, it's really not a cool thing to do. And one of the biggest problems with New York State is the entire state is pretty much run by the people in New York City. And the people in New York City, by and large, are renters. And why are they renters? Because who can afford to buy $1 million co-op? I mean, those numbers just don't make it. I mean, not as a first-time buyer, for sure. So they rent. It has the lowest home ownership rate probably anywhere. And as a result, all of the politicians cater to that voting block that is really committed to renting, not so much because they want to, but because they don't really have a choice. So that's why you see all these things about trying to pass laws on just cause eviction. Just cause eviction means essentially you can never evict somebody. I mean, so you've been, oh, they're not paying rent. That's okay. They're not paying rent. And there's a million loopholes and all. Not a cool thing. And I understand. You want to protect your voting base, but get out of the rent spiral as soon as you can, whenever you can. And you know what's nice about living in 716, and this really is cool. If you're making $50,000 a year here, you can buy something. You can buy something. Making more, you can certainly buy something. Now, you're going to work your way up. You're not going to be buying a house in Spalding Lake if you're making $50,000, but you can certainly get into the game, as they say, and then trade your way up like everybody else does. Your first house is almost never your dream house anyway. But the best part about the first house is, well, you're not paying rent anymore. And rent is a temporary position at best. Look for some opportunities that are out there. Now, granted, there's the pickings are pretty slim. Inventory is very low. But you know what? It's a process. And it may take you a few months. It may take a year. I worked with one lady last year. She looked at a bunch of properties. She was downsizing, selling her house in Orchard Park. She ultimately found a wonderful little single-family house in South Buffalo, of all places. Beautiful little street that I'd never been down. Just delightful. And she is as happy as a clam. But it did take her about a year to find one. And yes, it was a competitive offer. We're seeing more competitive offers than people were expecting to see. And, you know, generally speaking, after the market that we've been experiencing the last 2 or 3 years, everyone's expecting to be light at the end of the tunnel. But you know what? I'm not seeing an immediate light at the end of the tunnel. When I don't expect inventory to become rushing in, and next year is going to be really wild because it's an election year. It's a presidential election year. And not always – presidential election years are not always fun, and they're certainly not always cool. So I don't know what's going to happen with respect to that, but I can tell you this much. Real estate is going to be very, very, very slow to pivot from a seller's market to a buyer's market. And if you're expecting it to happen now, this is what you should really be expecting. One or two things are going to happen, or both. One, the interest rates could continue to go up. Two, prices could continue to go up. If one goes up and prices go down, well, then you're at a neutral position, except the pickings are still pretty small. So that would not be cool. But if interest rates go up, and I'm predicting that they're probably going to sort of hover around that 7.5% to 8% mark, just because that was the benchmark for years and years and years and years, and everyone seemed to be pretty good with that 8.5% golden standard. So don't be listening to people say, you know what, the price is going to come down. Yeah, go into, look at the refrigerators in the real estate offices and look for that picture of the old couple that. Yeah, it's just not a thing. It's fantasy land, and you know we don't want to. It would not be cool to laugh in people's faces, but we do kind of smile to ourselves. We try not to let you see our lips curl up at the end. It's not going to happen. And God forbid if it does, you know, we're all going to be pushing ox carts. And again, that would not be cool. Next week, we do have a guest, and we're going to have some interesting people talking about some other aspects of things that make really cool, generally speaking, in 716. I happen to love it here in the Buffalo market, and we are now headed to the most beautiful time of the year for sure. And there's no better place to be in the summer than Buffalo, New York, I think, just from a weather perspective. I think it's even better than San Diego in the summertime, because San Diego does get a little hot in the summer. But yeah, the summers in Buffalo are just glorious, and I was very, very fortunate to take up sailing with my friend over there at Sail Buffalo. And if you're interested in learning how to sail, contact Sail Buffalo. That's a cool thing to do. That being said, time to say real estate's cool, as far as I know. Brendan Cunningham saying, see you next week.